From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM next hour. Investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us. Incredible stories followed by, of course, conversations with Linda, your phone calls. Here's what's happening. Major story on global warming to be released tomorrow. An international panel of scientists expected to issue a report Friday that dismisses nearly every doubt that human activity has caused temperatures to warm, glaciers to melt, and seas to bulge since the middle of the last century. If greenhouse gas emissions continue to rise, the report will warn that there will be catastrophic consequences. Whether these strong words will be met with meaningful response is, of course, another matter. The scientists with the Nobel Prize-winning Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they've been working behind closed doors in Sweden this week to hammer out the exact wording of the report. The report, written by more than 800 scientists, is expected to say that a human influence on the global climate is extremely likely. What it doesn't mention? That the solar system that we are all in is warming up, and that there are a number of scientists, just as many as the 800, who believe in human global warming, who say, no, we're in an Earth cycle. So I'm sure the argument will continue. House Republican leaders shifting the budget battle to a potentially more consequential fight over raising the government's borrowing limit, rolling out conditions for a debt ceiling increase that they had pulled from 3 years of frustration in order to roll back regulations and hopefully, they believe, undo President Obama's first term achievements. It's still a mess. Meanwhile, Americans will apparently pay an average premium of $328 monthly dollars for the mid-tier health insurance plan when the Obamacare health exchanges open for enrollment next week. And mostly will qualify for government subsidies to lower the price, they say. Peter Schiff, of course, CEO and global strategist for Euro-Pacific Capital. Let's check in with him. Peter, well, first of all, your thoughts on just what is going on here with the health care measure. Nobody seems to understand still what's really going to happen to people.
Well, I mean, I understand. I guess the administration doesn't, but basically, you know, what the president's law does, or Obamacare, is it basically makes insurance, it destroys all the value in insurance. There's no reason for anybody to buy insurance, especially now that it's so much more expensive because of the Affordable Care Act. But the value of insurance was that you would buy insurance when you're healthy, because if you got really sick, medical costs could be very expensive.
Exactly.
But of course, you couldn't buy insurance after you were sick because then you'd have pre-existing conditions, which would make it impossible. So healthy people would buy insurance because they knew that they couldn't buy it if they got sick. Well, Obama changed that. Now, you don't have to buy insurance when you're healthy. You can wait till you get sick, and it's the same price. So there is no reason for anybody, especially a young, healthy person, to buy insurance. Now, they have a penalty for not buying insurance, but the penalty is so low that it makes a lot more sense to pay the penalty than have insurance. In fact, even people who had insurance up until now should simply drop their coverage and just pay the penalty instead, which is why the whole thing can't work, because the only people who are going to have insurance are going to be really sick people. And they're just going to be drawing benefits. So the insurance companies aren't going to have any money to pay the claims because none of the healthy people are going to be contributing premiums anymore.
This is going to be crazy. Let me cite an example. Tell me how this would work. A person, let's say, does not have the insurance. They've decided, you know, I'm not going to get insurance. And all of a sudden, they break their leg. They go to the hospital. Hospital bills them $1,000. Then can they take out the insurance to pay that, or not?
I don't, look, $1,000 bill. You know, you're probably better off just paying the bill than buying the insurance because you know
it's cheaper.
Yeah, I mean it's not a lot of money. But if something really bad happened to you and you found out, oh, you got cancer, and you're going to need a bunch of operations, and you know it's going to cost a couple hundred thousand dollars. Yeah, you just go out and buy the insurance, and you know it would cost you the same. It would be the same cost as if you had bought it before you were diagnosed with cancer. It wouldn't be any more expensive because the insurance companies can't look at that pre-existing condition and increase your premium.
This is going to be a disaster, Peter.
Oh, yeah. The whole bill will destroy the insurance industry as we know it, and the government will then come up and say, well, capitalism doesn't work, and so you know we'll have a government take over a complete single-payer socialized medicine scheme. That's where all this is going.
That's what they want.
The government is going to destroy what's left of the market system that we have, even though it really wasn't a free market system. That's why it's so screwed up. Because of the government's involvement in health care, that's why it's so expensive.
Peter, we've got to get you back for more. This is a big, big story. The owners of a Colorado cantaloupe farm linked to a 2011 food poisoning outbreak. It killed 33 people, sickened 147 others. They've been arrested and charged with selling contaminated food. Eric and Ryan Jensen now face up to 6 years in prison, $1.5 million in fines. The brothers apparently did not adequately wash the melons before selling them. The outbreak of this listerias stretched from California to Virginia. At the highest level of talks on Iran's nuclear program for at least 6 years now, have been held at the United Nations in New York. Secretary of State John Kerry met with the Iranian foreign minister and diplomats from China, Russia, Britain, France, and Germany were also present for these talks. They agreed to hold more talks on the issue in Geneva beginning the 15th of October, but they say it's the best discussions in 6 years. Meanwhile, the Iranian media is saying that CNN lied when they said that their prime minister, Rouhani, does not believe in the Holocaust. Basically, the Iranian media is saying he never said that. They say he doesn't believe the Holocaust occurred. Who knows what's going on? Let's check in with Jerome Corsi about all of this. Jerry, first of all, the Iranian situation and the nuclear standoff. Looks like they're going to at least start talking, huh?
Well, George, they've done this before. The Iranians love to talk. They'll talk as long as you want to talk. It doesn't mean they'll do anything to stop their nuclear weapons program. This happened during the Bush administration. 2005, Secretary of State Rice decided she wanted to talk with Iran. We talked with Iran throughout the Bush administration, and zero happened. Again, I think it's just a delaying tactic on the part of the Iranians to fool the world into thinking they want to compromise or shut down their nuclear weapons program, but I don't have any expectation anything significant will happen.
Okay, and Rouhani, did he or did he not say the Holocaust occurred?
Well, I imagine he did say it. I think he's probably a Holocaust denier. He certainly comes from a long tradition within Iran of denying the Holocaust and being just rabidly anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. Rouhani is presenting himself as a moderate, but he has a long history of really being an extremist, very much like Ahmadinejad, who preceded him.
I guess he just speaks Farsi because whatever happened at CNN, nobody knows what he said.
Well, I'm sure they do, but, the Iranians love to do this. They love to create a controversy over an issue like Holocaust denial and present Rouhani as a moderate and get the whole world talking about these issues when they're all really diversions from the main point, which is that Iran has never stopped its nuclear weapons program and has no intention of stopping.
Well, and that's what concerns Netanyahu in Israel. He doesn't believe any of this.
Well, and Netanyahu, remember last time he was at the UN, drew the red line and on a diagram and said there will be a point at which Iran is very, very close to a nuclear weapon, and that's when Israel may have to take military action.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see the Obama administration really doing anything. This right now, if Iran wants to negotiate, it means the sanctions are actually having an effect on the economy. Iran probably just wants the sanctions eased up, and if we do that, we'll be again letting Iran off the hook.
And I noticed when you were on with me last week, talking about your book, Who Really Killed Kennedy, you zoomed up the Amazon charts.
It was really impressive. It was a great launch by Coast to Coast AM. George, thank you. And the book has continued, the Who Really Killed Kennedy, to do extremely well. But I attribute it very much to the strong launch and the program we had with you, George, at Coast to Coast AM and launching the book. Thank you.
I look forward to it. And Jerry, of course, will be a future guest on our television program, Beyond Belief. Human remains have been found on that wrecked Costa Concordia, possibly answering what happened to the last two missing people from the cruise liner that struck rocks off Italy's island in 2012. The divers were trying to recover the remains. 32 people died of the 4,200 people on board when that ship capsized. Captain Kelly Sweeney, of course, was with us all along following that tragedy. Well, I guess it is tragic, and you're going to find skeletons on a ship like that, Kelly, aren't you?
Ahoy, George. Yes, you are. But this is just the next step in what is becoming the most expensive and one of the biggest marine salvage operations in history. Now, the divers recovering the bodies today would not have been possible if last week's well-publicized parbuckling, which is a maritime term for a very dangerous operation that pulls a wreck like this upright to make it safe enough for the divers to go in, if that had not been successful, they would not have been able to recover those bodies today. But we're still looking at a year before this whole thing is over.
Jeez.
They have to pump the diesel out of the tanks. They have to secure the vessel, be able to float it up, and then tow it away to scrap. And, of course, the trial of Captain Schettino, who was in command that night, and as you said, 32 people died under his command, that started a few days ago, and he's been charged with multiple counts of manslaughter, and that'll probably continue, I'd say, at least until the end of the year.
How do they know that they found the remains if they're going to send down divers to get them? Was this with, like, a robot?
No, the divers actually went down and recovered the bodies. The bodies had been down there ever since the accident. When the ship heeled over or went over on the starboard side, these people, eyewitnesses, saw these two in that area, and they recovered those bodies there, but those bodies have been there the whole time.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Okay, Kelly, thank you so much. Well, we continue talking about Planet X, don't we? Is it happening? Up next, Marshall Masters joins us. We'll talk about that on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and one of our favorites, Marshall Masters, author, publisher. He's got his own internet radio show, founder of Your Own World Books, of course. He's written one called Planet X Forecast and 2012 Survival Guide. Well, now we're going to be surviving into 2014. Marshall, how are you?
Well, good, George. Great to be back.
This Planet X could very well be another sun in the solar system, can it?
That's what we're observing. And, you know, when I was on the show with you back in July, we were talking about our video, Planet X Observations.
Yeah.
And we've actually had folks, YouTubers, who have been posting their observations, and they're finding the similar object in the same area of the sky, which visually is about at the 10 o'clock on the sun's position, and when folks are looking at it. But what we've also noticed that is starting to happen right now, and it's really concerning us, is that there's wolf pack disinformation attacks. And people are posting these videos, coming under a very scathing attack. And this is tradecraft. This is disinformation tradecraft with bait and switch headlines, salted information. Salting is where you put some reasonably useful information, but then you target your attacks within that. And then, of course, the ad hominem attacks. And there's several different things, but we see the same tradecraft coming from these different attacking sites. And one in particular is a fellow by the name of Logan Running on YouTube. And it prompted me to put up a couple of articles on our site. And one is, Are You a Planet X Nibiru Soldier for Truth? And I was really writing an open letter to this guy, and he's been beaten down. He put up two videos with observations on 2 days, September 15th and September 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And both videos, he's seeing it. So there's persistence, which is, you know, there's three things we look for. We want to see provenance. Who are you? Where were you? The who, what, where, why, when, and how.
That's right.
The second thing we want to see is resolution, because if it's a cell phone or it's a video camera, the resolution isn't strong enough for us to really do a detailed analysis. It doesn't matter whether you're high definition or not. All video is 72 DPI. So what we like is video, but we want those stills. And then the third thing we're looking for is persistence. Can you go out and replicate this day after day? And this one fellow, Logan Running, is a YouTuber. He managed to do that, but he was real cocky about it. And he titled his, debunk this, UBI.
Don't go there.
Finish the rest of it. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. And, when I looked at what he did with his title, to me, it was about as made as much sense as wearing a sandwich sign that says, "Kiss me, I'm Jewish," and walking through downtown Tehran. You're just asking for it. Well, this guy got hammered, and he got hammered so bad. There's a couple of sites that we've seen have taken down some other people that were doing good work. They went after him, and he then switched his videos to private. But then we noticed that he switched a bunch of his other videos.
Who might he be in real life?
You know, he's on his videos. He's a good old boy from the South. With barroom bravado.
Is he a government worker or something like that?
No, you know, the guy doesn't, he's just probably a working stiff, a blue-collar guy with an interest. And in terms of our research, it's like what we call a civilian. You know, you don't go after the civilians. I'm a researcher. I get attacked. Other researchers get attacked. But this guy's just out there. He sees something. He's been following everybody. He's nobody particularly important. Probably a truck driver, for all I know.
Well, truck drivers are important.
Well, yeah, they are. Everybody's.
They are to me.
Yeah. he's just.
What you mean is someone in some kind of academic level.
He's not an academic, okay? He's a good old working boy, all right? You can tell it. The thing is that when he did his video and it reached out to me, you know, the headline was just, he was asking for it. He was just asking for it. But listening to this man talking about I've been looking for this.
Well, how many hits has he had? I mean, why do you even care about him?
He got a lot of hits. The reason why I care about it is that these are the kind of folks that are going to make observations, they're going to report them, and it's vital to our research.
But you don't like the way he's reporting it.
Well, I didn't care much for the way he's reporting it, but it was a compelling video nonetheless, because when we looked at it, it couldn't be debunked as a reflection, because there's clouds moving in front of the second object, and the clouds are moving naturally. Now, the guys that are attacking him said it was a Photoshop hoax. Well, we analyzed his video. There was enough resolution. There was no Photoshop.
No Photoshop.
What he put up was what he shot with his camera. And while he may have been lacking on provenance, what got him into trouble was the persistence. He did it on one day, and then just to prove he could do it again, he went out the next morning, and he did it again. And then he posted that. And that was when he really got nailed. But on the first one, and we had downloaded a copy of that video, and my subscribers can download it from my site. But you listen to the man, and there's no way he could have been hoaxing or faking this thing. This man was seeing something, and he was excited about it, and he had discovered it.
But Marshall, why aren't other astronomers telling us about this? Professional astronomers.
You know, professional astronomers were doing it quite a bit. We have an article on our site about mainstream media.
Okay, I want you to explain that when we come back. Marshall Masters with us, his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're talking about Planet X. A lot of people say it is coming along really soon. Well, we'll check in with Marshall and find out. And welcome back. Marshall Masters with us. We're going to take phone calls too. But Marshall, we're talking about professional astronomers, why they're not reporting seeing this object. And you were saying, well, some of them are looking at it. What's going on there?
Well, on our site at YOWUSA.com, if you scroll down the homepage, there'll be an article called Planet X Cover-Up in Mainstream Media. And what we saw was after Velikovsky in the 50s with Worlds in Collision, it started to trickle. And mainstream astronomers, mainstream media, there was a lot of talk about what they were calling Nemesis, that it would be our sister to our soul, our smaller sister, our second sun. And there was a lot of conversation on that until Robert Harrington of the Naval Observatory in Washington went out. He wrote a paper on Planet X, where to find it. He had a telescope made, and observations were done in New Zealand. But he also appeared in a documentary with Zachariah Sitchin. And the man died very suddenly, very mysteriously. And what we did was we methodically tracked all of the media coverage on Planet X. And it was building and building and building until Harrington died. And that sent the signal that it was a third rail topic. And you literally could see in the publishing stats, it went off a cliff into a vacuum. So this is just something where it's a taboo topic. It's tightly controlled. There's a lot of suppression on it. And we also have an article on the mysterious death of Robert Harrington. So that put the word out. And what we're seeing right now, George, is a lot of suppression. And we're seeing just good, honest, decent people who are trying to report their observations. And they're getting creamed. And the reason why I really had to step up was I understand how they're doing it because they've done it to me. And I've seen them do it to other researchers. They're starting to go after livelihoods. It's one thing to smear somebody on the internet. It's another thing to pick up the phone and call their boss and, you know, well, we're investigating this guy. What do you know about him? And ask a lot of disturbing questions. That's when people start pulling all their old videos. They start shutting down is when they get hit at that level. They'll pull one video in response to the attacks. But when we start seeing what we're seeing, not only in his site, but on other sites, we know the suppression machine is at full power right now. And that's the reason why we published a couple of articles to help people who want to report their observations to do so without putting themselves at unnecessary risk. There's risk in it no matter what you do. If you see two suns in the sky and you want to go on YouTube, you need to be diligent about it, straightforward, give it just like a news reporter would give it. Don't put, you know, the oh my God and what, you know, all these theatrics. It is just simply like chumming the waters and they will hit you and shut you down. And I just don't want to see any more innocent people getting hurt. As it is, we see enough other signs. I'm looking at just what's happening with meteors, all right? And this was something that we led with in my video, Planet X System Observations. But the American Meteor Society on fireballs, bolides, and a fireball is anything that's going to be brighter than Venus. But what we're seeing is that there's a new trend where we have multi-state observations of these things. So the overall stats of meteor observations are going up exponentially right now. But concurrent with that, in a recent thing, we're starting to see where there's multi-state, four or five states, where people are reporting on the same object because it's so bright in the sky. And you can go to amsmeteors.org and go to that website. And just do, you can look at the fireball reports, compare 2013, and then look at that, then go look at 2005, 2006. You'll see the same trend that we're seeing. But we're also seeing a lot of bright reports. 25th of September, an RCMP officer in Manning, Alberta, caught one. It was really, really bright. You know, there's also a meteor impact in Alabama. It actually impacted. It was a large meteorite. And NASA said it was boulder size, came in around 33,000 miles an hour. They haven't found it yet. But what was of interest to me was that they said it was not part of the torrid meteor shower, as some had suspected. So this is, it's a rogue is coming in. Now, that's interesting for me with the rogues, because remember back with that comet that hit in Siberia this year, back in February, I believe?
Yes, I remember that. Of course, 1,400 people hurt.
Yeah. And that thing released energy equivalent to about 20 Hiroshima bombs. Imagine what would happen if that had detonated, airbursted as it did, over a city like Chicago or San Francisco.
Well, that could have been a disaster of biblical proportions, Marshall. But let me ask you a couple quick questions with this.
Sure.
One, if there is an object out there, why is it being suppressed? Why don't they simply say, oh my gosh, what a discovery? Is it because it presents unbelievable catastrophes every time it gets close and they don't want to scare us?
Well, it's really what the elites always do. They always suppress something like this right to the last minute. It's what I call Titanic rules. First class gets the boats. Steerage goes down with the ship. We are steerage. What does it mean to be steerage? Very simply, the first to fall are the last to know. Think back to that movie, 2012. If you get past the eye candy and look at the subtext, that's exactly what happened, is that the information was suppressed so that the elites could get to their arcs. And everybody else that was decent, they wind up figuring out the day they die that that's it, game over. So, you know, the interesting thing is that was the realistic part of that movie, and that's what's happening here. But this is always the case. Ruling elites will always suppress. If they know there's bad news coming like this, they'll suppress it for as long as they possibly can to maintain the status quo. Because otherwise, you know, how are they going to do whatever it is that they're going to do if everybody's busy digging bunkers and going to Costco?
Well, let's take a call. Greg is in Mead View, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Hey, Greg, you're on with Marshall Masters. Go ahead.
Yeah. Wasn't there just a fireball? I just caught on the news here. Someone caught it on videotape.
Many. They're all over the place lately.
Well, yeah, someone called it from Texas, but there was one on. They actually showed it on television here just tonight.
Over Arizona, over your neck of the woods.
I thought it was maybe in Canada, but it's actually on videotape, and I didn't catch where it was, but I know somebody out there is well aware of it because it made it on national news. And, George, thanks for doing a great job. Keep it up. And
you got it, Greg. We will do that, indeed. Well, the fireballs are everywhere, Marshall, and they could be coming from rogue elements.
They could be coming from rogue elements, but what's concerning me, George, is that there's this increasing pattern of multi-state. You know, it was interesting. The caller was, how do you pinpoint who saw it in what state? Well, that's a tough question when you're seeing reports on a single bolide coming in from four or five different states. And that's the point of it. I look at, for me, it's not the individual events. I'm always looking for what is the trend. And the trends are all getting worse, which is, to me, an indicator that something's happening. Even in February 15th, the one that hit in Russia, NASA, you know, they had a moonwalk backwards on that whole thing because they were looking at DA 2012.
Well, and nobody expected that. Nobody tracked that meteorite when it came in. Nobody even knew what was happening. It just occurred just like that.
Boom. And what NASA said, their words from their website, it came from the sun, and they didn't have any telescopes pointed in that direction.
Huh.
So the thing is that we're still having this pattern.
Now, let me ask you, though, about Planet X. There are some, there's camp out there, and you know that, who believe that what we're talking about is an inhabited planet. And then, of course, there's the theory, as we've just been talking about, of an extra sun, binary star system. I would tend, if it was one or the other, be more of a binary star system.
Well, it would put us in a binary star system. That's what we're in. And, 90% of the solar systems in our galaxy have two or more suns. So you really have to be an oddball to be a single sun, solar system. We've got two suns. And, we're tracking. People are seeing it. It's not something that's easy to observe. It's the reason why it's catch-as-catch-can. But even, on Turrialba, which you've really been so great in helping us with that and helping us to find people who are interested, because this third camera that was installed was gifted by the United States government, after which we didn't have enough resolution. The focus was changed. It just wasn't useful at all. But we're still able to image and find Bluebonnet with this new government camera, even though it was intentionally designed to sabotage the work, at least our work. The way that they had set it up, the point of view and the direction that they pointed it. So we're still persistent on our Bluebonnet object, which means three different camera systems from the same location are imaging the same object. So there's the persistence there. And we're seeing that. We're seeing the image that Jorge Arena took at altitude over the Pacific off the coast of South America, and which was a very clear image. It was the first visible light observation of the brown dwarf that is in our binary, that it's the twin to our sun. But we're also seeing these reports from people that they're observing that same object. It's like it's in the same position, same place in the sky, different places, different spots, but they're finding it as well. And what we're seeing, George, that concerns us is the ones that are really putting up the quality observations are getting hammered like nails. And they're getting hammered into suppression tactics. And so it's really, it's hard to say, let's have a conversation with Planet X when anything that's really useful is getting kicked off into the curb, darn near as fast as it comes up.
What is your timetable, Marshall?
Timetable is, I think, by the end of this year, we're seeing it now. The question is when are people going to start looking? But we're seeing it now. My concern, because particularly, and your caller who called about this fireball, I think he's really got the right instinct, because we could very well have some impact events that start happening. My way of thinking, and here I got to agree with McCaney on it. This thing is, it's going to come in, it's going to be preceded by a swarm of garbage, and it's going to be followed by a swarm of garbage. And I think this is the leading edge of it. We're starting to see it. The stats from the American Meteor Society tell me that. I think that by the end of this year, we're probably going to have some sort of event that is going to scare people, and it's going to wake them up, and they're going to look at it. And I think that's the reason why we're seeing the heavy suppression that we are right now, this heavy, it's really nasty what's happening to people. And we've got some articles on our site at YOWUSA.com. If you see two suns in the sky, you want to record it before you put it on YouTube, please, please, please read our articles. We wrote them for you folks, because those of you that have the guts to see something, step up, man up, go to the plate and share it with people. We just don't want to see you get clobbered.
All right, let's go to Ray in Gainesville, Florida, wildcard line. Hey, Ray, go ahead. I guess he did. Planet X has taken him away. We've got Brian, truck driving in Pittsburgh, east of the Rockies. Hey, Brian, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, thanks. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing well, thank you.
Great. About a year ago, I actually just sent you pictures to your email.
Okay.
I was driving overnight, and it was about maybe 7 a.m. The sun was coming up, and the sky was getting bright. And as I'm driving down the highway, I noticed what looked like a smaller sun right to the left of the sun in the clouds. And so as I drove about maybe 20 minutes or so, and it was still there. And I found that pretty weird. And so I took a picture of that, and then I went into a fast food place. And when I came out, where it had been, it faded. So I put my camera phone up there, and I took a picture right where it had been. And I just zoomed in, took the picture, and then I used my phone just to darken it. And you could literally see a planet right there through the clouds. And so I sent you both of those pictures.
I look forward to that. That's fascinating.
That was crazy.
We will.
Send it to me, info@yowza.com. I'd love to see your pictures, too.
Spell that out for him, Marshall.
Just send it, info@yowza, YOWUSA.com.
You know, this object, has it been the subject of discussion with the ancients on this planet?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of folklore on it. I think it's even discussed in the Bible. Depending on which translation, if you're using a Bible that talks about the word destroyer, that is what the ancient Hebrews and what the ancient Egyptians called it. It's had a lot of other names. It's very well documented in the Colburn Bible, and which is actually predicting its return about this time, that the harbinger signs of its return have already come to pass. So there's the documentation on it from the ancients is just over. You just start looking for it, and you find it, and you find it, and you find it. And, you know, they're sending the message forward in time to us. But it's also, you know, even in the past, this knowledge was suppressed, too. It was kept from the public. And that's the same thing that's going on right now. But still the same. I think, I was just really delighted to hear your caller, that he actually stopped. He looked. He was thinking about it. He went and took a second observation. You know, this is great. I love people when they do this stuff. And they go and share it with others.
What do you recommend with people who have telescopes, if they want to try to look for this object, what do they do?
Okay, right now you're just going to see it either before sunrise or before sunset because it's an object close to the sun. If you're going on to the sky programs, this data is, you know, usually it goes back to 2007, and if there are star panels that are useful, they've been blanked out. So it's really more a case of what this gentleman did, is that you are, when you see it, get a camera, stop, and document it. And because it's something that it depends on atmospherics. We have a lot more moisture in our sky because of weather weirding. We also have the chemtrail spraying. So our visibility is, you know, dramatically reduced nowadays. And the reports coming in, what I find interesting is what your driver was telling me, and this goes back to this same fellow that I was telling you earlier about, Logan Runnin. Logan spotted it around sunrise.
Well, there's something there then. We're going to be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.